My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we just want to say happy Father's Day to all of the wonderful dads out there. Caleb, what do we got coming up?
Have you decided to follow Jesus but don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is baptism. Baptism is one of the ways that we participate in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It is an outward expression of an inward change. And we have a heated indoor baptism waiting for you to take this next step. So to sign up, or if you want more information, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We can't wait to take this next step with you.
Hey everyone, I'm excited to invite all of you to one of our favorite events of the entire year. That is Family Sunday in Aqua Grande. They will take place on Sunday, August the 2nd. During our 10 a.m. service, we'll have kids, youth, adults, all together for a message brought to you by Pastor Randy that'll have something for everyone. We will follow that with kids' baptisms, free food and drinks, and some items for purchase, and then we get to the water fun, 20 acres. Will be an amazing day. We're so excited to spend it together with you. We hope to see you there.
Hey, church family, Pastor Tim here. Listen, if you're part of our older generation and you have some yard projects, or you need help prepping your winter firewood, we want to help you. So if you need these services, all you need to do is head out to the Welcome Center in the main lobby. There's a sign-up sheet there for the yard projects and for the wood splitting. Just put your name and your phone number. I'll contact you. We'll work out the details and set a time to come and help you out. We look forward to serving you, and we hope this can be a blessing to you.
Looking for a good way to spend your Friday night? Join us for Gather on July 17th at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. This women's only event brings women of all ages together for a time of real connection, delicious food, and a message from Pastor Nicole. Let us know that you'll be there by scanning the QR code on the bottom of the screen or by heading out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and getting signed up there. And just a heads up, there will not be childcare for this event. So invite a friend and join us for Gather. We cannot wait to see you there.
Hey, church family, Pastor Tim here with Pastor Jared. We're excited to talk to you guys about Move Up Sunday. Take it away, Pastor Jared.
Thanks, Pastor Tim. Yeah, Move Up Sunday is June the 28th, the 10 a.m. service. Right at the beginning, we will be praying over our graduating seniors and all the students who are moving into new classes. Pastor Randy and Nicole will be laying hands on them, and it will be a powerful time in ministry. We will have information for you in the children's church, and we look forward to celebrating this important time with you then.
It's Father's Day, so here's a do-it-yourself guide to help make your dad feel like the legend he thinks he is. Step 1. Get motivated. Do a few reps on the old bench to honor your dad's strength.
Never skip arm day.
Or maybe just be the spark he needs to finally go use that gym membership.
Oh, that feels good.
Step 2. Show some respect to your dad's grilling skills. Before lighting the grill, get help from a big brother or sister who knows a little about fire safety.
Go away.
Dad doesn't ask for help, so why should we?
This one's for Dad, the original fire tamer. This one's for Dad.
Curse you, child safety locks. These matches are cheap. This is a lot higher than it looks.
And just like Dad, always have 911 on speed dial. Step 3, get crafty. Take a perfectly normal mug and give it a little manliness.
Hey, that's Mom's favorite mug.
Not anymore.
It's a small gift for the guy who's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. Step 4, give him something that he already owns, but wrapped in tissue paper. Why?
Because it's tradition, and just like the thermostat, we do not mess with it.
Step 5, put your heart into a card. Say something that'll really move him, you know, spiritually.
You're like our Father in heaven. You're big, you're wise, and on the seventh day, you fall asleep watching football.
Then put it all together for a showstopper reveal.
I use my babysitting money.
Well, I use my heart and soul.
I can tell.
Thank you.
To all those dads out there, we hope today you feel like the legends we already know you are.
Oh, today we say thank you to every father that's in the house, every grandfather, every man who loved, guided, protected, nurtured, through the good days, through the bad days, through the days you were tired, through the days you weren't. Thank you. Thank you for being our fathers and grandfathers. Amen. Come on, give dads a hand. Dad, stand up. Dad, stand up. Every dad, every grandfather in here, stand up. There it is. There it is. We honor you today. We honor you. Yes. And we also don't want to forget that we also know that this day carries a lot of grief, loss, and even a future longing for those of you that maybe don't have your fathers here anymore, or maybe you didn't know your father as you grew up. Here's what I say to you is that the church is here for you. We support you. We love you. And I hope that you find encouragement within your brothers and sisters family today. And that sometimes out of the very thing that you need, if you'll give it away, you'll receive that which you need. So love someone else and encourage them today, and you will be encouraged as well. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, fathers, before we get started, I don't want to think we have this day on our own. I want to pray. Amen. As an example to the way we should lead our homes, we should pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we give this service to you. Father, as we honor something so important and so precious to you today and precious to us as wives, as children, Father, we just want to give you this minute. Father, I ask you to use my words, Father, to penetrate the hearts of every man, woman, child in this room today, Father, that even though it's birthed around fathers, there's a word in it for everyone today. Father, let it encourage us and bless our hearts, Father, but most of all, let it bring a supernatural change into our lives. God, that we live our days more and more like you each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Fathers, you are strong and powerful. And I want you to know, when I sat down to think about fathers, I started to think of just things that showed up in my mind. You know, Randy doesn't own a wrench this big. He owns a wrench this big. And I'm like, what are you ever going to need a wrench this big for? I've never seen you use it. Yet you pull out the big tool and there's this wrench that's this big. And you go in my room, in the laundry room, and you open up the washer and dryer and you pull out this little box that says tools. And there's these little wrenches like this. And there's these little tiny screwdrivers that fix your glasses. Randy doesn't own a screwdriver that's not this long. I scrape cracks with his screwdrivers, right? They're super big, they're heavy, they're powerful. I don't have a leaf blower that I can pick up with one hand and blow. Randy's, you have to put on your back. It's like a human. It's like 115 pounds. It sits on the jet ski trailer, and you got to back into it and strap it on and then lean forward like this just to get it going. And then someone has to start it on my back as I'm crouched over like this. And then when you push the power button, it gives me enough power to stand up because it's so powerful. It blows the paint off the side of the house if you're not careful. All the mulch can land up in a different pile. He's like, don't be going like this with that weed thing. And I'm like, it's awful. How do you control this? Because you're big, you're strong, and you're powerful. That's why. And God made you that way. Do you know that your bone density is stronger than mine as a woman? Look at your wife and say, mine's stronger. It's all right. You're allowed. Your heart is bigger. Your lung capacity is bigger. And granted, because some of that's your size, but you also have very strong hearts. Do you know that your blood clotting factor is higher and faster than ours as a woman so that you heal faster when you're wounded? You want to know why? Because you're strong and you're powerful and God made you like that. And it's exciting and you should not be ashamed of those big, powerful tools you have. You want to know why? Because you like things that are strong and powerful because it represents who you are. And there's nothing wrong with that. But here's the struggle. When I began to think about that strong and powerful place, the Lord began to impress upon my heart the weight that you carry because you're stronger. You carry the family on your shoulders. You try to. Some of you do it different than others. And let me just say, you're pushed every single day by everything around you to lead, to lead, to lead, to lead. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes there's days that you don't want to lead. You've worked 7 14-hour days in a row without a day off. And all you hear from home is lead, lead. And you want to sleep, sleep. It doesn't go unnoticed, the price you pay, the hours that you work. When anything's broke, guess who fixes it? We want dads to fix it. Moms, you wait till your dad gets home. Please just correct him when he's not there so he don't have to deal with it when he gets home. Right? Let alone sometimes you're just this dump site. And I'm using this with the best words, women. But we wait for our husbands to get home, and then emotionally we just throw up everything and we consider them to carry it all. When they've came in carrying their own load. And I'm not saying that the mother doesn't carry a load, but ladies, today is about our fathers. Amen? Can we say thank you? Come on. We get to hear about us all the time. It's not that I'm being down on women today, but I am being so for fathers. So for the men in our lives that do the hard stuff. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm really glad that my trash bag is too heavy for me to carry. I'm okay with that. I'm not fighting to carry the trash bag. I'm not fighting to carry what you're meant to carry and the load that you bear. But what I want you to know is that God sees you in the place and what you carry and what you bear. And that though he made you strong, there's a double side edge to that because he wants you, the enemy wants you to believe, the world wants you to believe that because you're strong, that you are to be independent. You are to be self-sufficient and you are to have the answer for every problem and you're to carry every weight that's in your home and you're to fix every emotional problem of your wife. And what I want to tell you today is that is not what you're called to be. What you're called to be is dependent upon Christ. And in Christ, you will be enough for your family. And in Christ, you will be able to handle what your wife throws up emotionally on Friday, throws up again on Saturday morning, and you already dealt with it on Friday night. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, women. You have a lot of emotions. But sometimes it's not our husband's place to fix all of our emotional brokenness. Yes, he's a safe place. Yes, he's a confidant. But Christ is where we find our healing. Amen. And it's in him that we find our provision. And when our husbands or the things that we have need of, when our girlfriends aren't there, when our husband can't be there, when we call on the Lord, he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And that means your emotional vat, that of emotions that needs to be filled. It's impossible for man to meet all those. But so possible for God. See, husbands, I'm helping you already and you don't even see it. Yep. Ephesians 2:10 says that you are God's workmanship created for a purpose. Now, you may have been raised by human hands, but you were created inside your mother for a purpose. He knit you together and knew what you would be before you took your first breath. He picked you and he thinks that you have what it takes. So today we're going to reflect just a little bit. I want everyone in this house today, especially fathers and men, I want you to look at yourself and I want you to say in your mind, don't say it out loud because your neighbor might be shocked, what you see about you. What do you see? One word. One word. What do you see about yourself? Because I want to challenge you today that if what you see is not good, if what you see is not what God says, then we're going to take the way we naturally see and change it to the supernatural vision that the Bible tells us we're supposed to have. See, because what the world tells us is that what you see, where there's proof, that's what you believe in. But the Bible tells us that that's not the way you and I as Christians believe. That when we believe in Christ, the faith that we have in him now sees something differently. So if what you see about yourself is only negative, then what God wants to do is take the negative and turn it into the positive. He wants you to begin to see yourself through supernatural eyes. And this morning, I'm going to challenge every wife and every child in this room that you don't look at your father in a natural sense, but you put on a supernatural lens to see him. Because that's what God calls us to. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story today, which most of you in this building have already heard, but I'm going to assume that there's someone here that hasn't. So you're just going to have to hear it again. Gideon was a man who was a part of the children of Israel. Now, the children of Israel had already been saved, rescued, dragged through the Red Sea on dry land, poor people, fed for 40 years. In the daytime, they had a cloud to keep them cool. I don't know if it was air conditioning, but it definitely kept them cool. In the evening, they had a fire that kept them warm, right? And God provided everything they had need of. Well, once they arrived where they were going, they had forgotten all about God yet again. And were caught not serving him, not worshiping, not living a life of holiness. So he writes them off for 7 years and turns them into the hands of the Midianites. But there was one man that God wanted to show himself strong through, and his name was Gideon. Now, the angel of the Lord shows up to talk to this man that God wants to show himself strong through, but this man is hiding inside of a wine press. Now, a wine press would be deep in the ground, and you would jump in it because the grapes would be poured in, and then you would press out the grapes. Okay, or they would press out the grapes with the big old turn thing. I don't know what day this was, so I don't know which one they did. Feet would have been more fun, but that would have taken way much longer. And my mother would have never drank anything that was pressed out with someone's feet. I don't care what you did to those feet. She would never eat it. I was taught cleanliness is next to godliness. And then found out as an adult, that's not even in the Bible. Just saying. He was in the bottom of the wine press, pressing it out, but he was hiding. He wasn't pressing wine. He was threshing wheat in the bottom of the wine so that the enemy could not see him, because they would come in and take all their wheat, take all of their crops, everything they had farmed. As soon as it would grow up, they would come in and ravish it all. So the children of Israel were literally starving. So in secret, they were trying to hold back food and provide for their families. And the angel of the Lord comes and meets Gideon right in that spot, right where he's fearful, doesn't think he's got what it takes, and is doing his best just to survive and feed his family. How many of you know what I'm saying in an economy right now that you're doing your best just to survive and feed your families out there? Amen. Pay the electric bill, keep the lights on, and buy a pack of bacon every now and then because you can't afford it because it's so expensive, right? It's a real thing. But the Lord comes to him and he says, you're going to raise up. I'm going to need you to do something. So we're going to go to Judges, the 6th chapter, and this is where our story begins. And it says, the 12th chapter, or 12th verse, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you! Exclamation mark. Mighty hero. He ain't done nothing yet. He's hiding in the bottom of a wine press, threshing wheat. And God speaks to him and says, mighty hero, some of you, it says mighty man of valor, means he's esteemed with medals, which means he's already been a hero. That's what your word tells you. Let's go to the 14th verse. It says, now, he's got questions. Gideon's just dealing with all kinds of struggle. If you love us, then why are we here? Why have you brought us out of Egypt just to abandon us? Because you've been walking in sin. In the verse 14, it says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you! Exclamation mark again. I am sending you. Verse 16, Gideon has another excuse. How can I rescue Israel? I'm the least. I don't have what it takes. You don't understand. Verse 16 says, the Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Here's what I want you to see today. Fathers, if God is for you, then who can be against you? If God is with you, Take who you are in the midst, in the situation, at the bottom of the wine press, where you shouldn't be. Hear me out. He shouldn't have been in there doing his wheat, but he was trying to make ends meet. He was trying to get it done because, to be honest with you, he didn't want his wheat stolen. He was doing the best he could. And he said, here it is, you mighty hero, hero of your families, hero at your job place, hero in the situation in your home that is a constant fight. You're the one that's being called out by God to say, go in your own strength because I will be with you. You know what that tells me? You don't need to read no self-help book. You don't need to read the Father of the Year book, the greatest one put out by the best father. What you need to do is know that what you have mixed with God's power is enough to do anything that he asks you to do. I'm going to be real with you. Mr. Mitchell, God didn't give me your son. God didn't give me that daughter. God didn't give me her. Got that little one. She's so sweet. And I know God didn't give me that big one because he ain't never seen the likings of 6'4" or whatever he is, because I'm only 5'2" and my husband's only 5'7". What I know is that God gave those children to you. And if he gave them to you, then he said, go in the power that I've given you and I will be with you. Everything, one of those things that those children need, you have the power to become because Christ says you can. Not because your wife pats you on the back, which is a great idea. What I'm telling you is that you, in your mind, if you will deny what the enemy is telling you, that you failed, that you've not done what they needed to do, that you've always fallen short, but if you'll say, God, you're right, in my own strength, I was not enough, but in your strength, when I go with you, you will be enough strength. You will redeem time, every bad situation in your life that you think, man, I failed. God will redeem every single one of them. That's what I know. Why? Because I've mothered children and I wish to goodness there were things I hadn't done or I hadn't said, or if I would have dealt with it this way, if I'd have done it this way, maybe I could do it this way. But you know what God said? Go in your own strength. And whatever you do, I'm going to be with you. And when I'm with you, you can't lose. That's what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you you're perfect. And then he said in this last scripture, he said, you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. I'm reminding you, fathers, that you've got to know who you're fighting against. Do you understand that it might not be the child who is rebellious? You might not be fighting about Josh or about Jacob or about Joan, but what you might be fighting is the devil with the spirit of rebellion that's been bred into your child's heart. And God says, know the enemy that you're fighting. For when you fight with me, I will reveal it, and it will be as if you're fighting one man. Know what you're fighting. Don't you realize that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal? That you're not just fighting a mouthy teenager? That you're not just dealing with a sinful, lustful child, but you're dealing with a spirit of iniquity underneath trying to take your family and pull them away from Christ? Amen. Know that it's the enemy that is at work, and he comes to take each one of our kids. But what I know is that you are strong enough. And with God, when you set a standard in your home, it cannot be taken. I remember there are times in our lives that I was sick as a child and I would have a fever. I'm not sure what was going on, but it seemed more regular than not that I constantly had this fever. My father took a cassette tape. Yes, that tells how old I am. A cassette tape and recorded front and back. Now, this was before they had that little continual thing that you could push that would flip the cassette tape over on its own. My dad recorded every healing scripture out of the entire Bible on that tape. And if I'm not mistaken, it was 30 minutes on the front and 30 minutes on the back. And when sickness came to our household, my father got out the old boombox or the cassette tape player, plugged it in by your bed and pushed play. And every 30 minutes he came in, pushed eject, turned it over, and slapped it down, and the next 30 minutes played. And all night, that's what my father did. Why? Because he knew that the Word of God would heal sickness in our home. And what he knew is that the Word of God was being put into his child's ears day and night, day and night. And do you know that fever would start to drop a couple degrees, and then it got to be a thing around our house. It got to be a thing where the first thing we would say is, did you pray about it? Did you put the scriptures on? My dad, to this day, there was a master tape of healing scriptures in that place in there, in our old tape room. There was a tape cassette that had healing scriptures on it. Now today, you don't need that. You can get it with AI. Just push healing scriptures and make sure they're the word of God before they go in your body. I remember my father, when my mom went through a desperate time, I was no longer at home. But my mom shared with me, she said, Nicole, every morning that man would lay his hands on me, every single joint, and begin to speak life into her ankles, into her knees, into her hips, into her shoulders, into her elbow, into her wrist, into her shoulder, up here, and all over her body. Why? Because there was no man that was going to allow sickness to come into his home. Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because, fathers, you hold a place in your home that you know not of. If you'll stand up and step out into the father role that you've been given, God says that if you'll go in your own strength, I will be with you. But you got to get up and go. You got to get up and go. We were with our grandbabies the other day, and little Emery, the newest one, doesn't like to travel, doesn't like the car, hates the car, wants to scream in the car the entire time, almost pass out, come in, eyes swollen, face red, hyperventilating. And little Lacey, she's about 18 months now, and all she does is go nuts in the car because there's this screaming child and she can't make it better. She's like, Emery, Emery. Like, if she screams, she's going to stop crying. So now Jill's got both of them in the car, crying and screaming because they're unhappy. Literally calls before she gets home, meet me in the driveway, they're both screaming. So anyone that's at home meets her in the driveway, takes the one that's crying and deals with them. The other day it just set on me. I said, no, 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 we're going to start praying that Emery is not fearful or car sick or whatever this is, and this is going to stop. So in return, I look at Lacey. I'm like, Lacey, stretch forth your hand. Tell that child to have peace in the name of Jesus. So all the way up, that's what we did. Stretch your, mom's praying in the front seat. I'm praying in the back seat. Guess what? Little Lem covered her eyes with a hat so she can't see outside. God knows. She has FOMO, I guess. Cover her eyes with a hat, put her pacifier in, hold, she fell asleep. Hallelujah. There was no father in that car. But the two mamas that were in there knew what to do and how to teach the younger generation to do what they need to do. Fathers, there's a generation that needs to be taught that prayer is not a second choice, it's our first choice. That walking in the power of God is what comes natural to us because God has empowered us to do so. And when you begin to see the enemy the way God tells you to see the enemy, then you're going to stand up and rise up in the situation that you're in and take back what the enemy is trying to steal for you. Do not allow him to rid your home with sickness and disease and poverty and anything else that tries to come in, for you are the father of that home. Amen. It's very important that we know who we're fighting with and what we're fighting against. In verse 25, it tells a big story. Now, Gideon gives fleece after fleece after fleece. I'm not going to tell you that fleeces are wrong. I've thrown out fleeces on my own, and God's met me where I'm at. What I'm going to tell you is that God's not fearful of your emotions. He does meet you where you are, but that doesn't mean that he leaves you where you are. When he meets you where you are, and you truly believe what the word of the Lord is saying, then you rise up out of who you are, and you become what he wants you to be. Right? So let's go to verse 25. So he throws out a bunch of fleeces and he ends up down here at the bottom. That night, the Lord said to Gideon, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old. Pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. Now here's what I want to remind you of today, is that the Lord told Gideon that he was going to pull down an altar that his father had built. How many of us have lived in a life where our fathers have built something and told us that it was right, but in our hearts, now that we've found out to follow Christ, we know that that altar is not of God, that that altar is of the devil. I want to talk to some of you men, because some of you men are going in the way that your fathers taught you were right. It may be that you put your woman in her place. It could be that, you know what, you've worked hard and you earn it. You go home, you sit on that couch, you demand your food to be brought to you. That's her job to take care of those children. You sit down, you take care of the bills. It could be that you rule your house with anger, because anger doesn't allow any room for anyone else's voice. It could be that you're not an emotionally safe space for any of your children to come, or your wife, because your father never cared about your emotions. So you would rather avoid anything that means you have to go back to who you were and fix it. Now listen, God tells Gideon to pull down what was and rebuild what was proper. Here's what I'm telling you, is that when you look at me, do you see my father? Okay. My mother will be with me in the car, and we'll be having a very candid conversation. And I'll just say what I mean and mean what I say. And she's like, oh, you're so much like your father. I'm like, gee, I didn't mean to be that aggressive. But that's how it's seen, because why? I watched him. I heard him. I lived with him. He influenced me. Whether you like it or not, the good, the bad, and the ugly are all a part of what your fathers and your mothers are teaching you. But you got to tear down the wrong stuff, and you got to put in place the proper altar. And that might mean that you got to tear down the spirit of anger in your home, which doesn't allow a safe place for your children to even voice their opinion before they're shut down and they're told to shut up. It might be that your wife walks around on eggshells and she really don't want to tell you how much the bills are that month because she knows you're going to lose your mind. Do you understand that those are not proper? Tear down what your father has taught you that is improper. Why? And rebuild what God says is right. Some of you right now as I'm speaking, there's an internal, you're seeing it. You're seeing the wrong. You saw it wrong then, but you couldn't put the words to what's happening now in your life, and you're seeing it repeat, and you want to push stop, but you can't. You are God's workmanship. And yes, you were raised by human hands, but you were not created to be a duplicate of your parent. You were created to be in Christ's likeness. And above all the things that we teach, and fathers, I'm going to be honest with you, I've taught my kids some terrible things. I'm really smart on my second round. The first round, my kids would look at the dog and say, shut up! The second set of kids, the grandkids, Lacey says, Ginger, shh. Instead of shut up. Because I realized how awful it sounded when my kids repeated it. Like, I didn't mean to give them that, but I'm like, dog, just shut up. You're driving me crazy. You bark at the mailman. He comes every day at the same time. And then I've got Ashley. Well, he's just doing his job. That's what dogs do. I'm like, shut up. Shh, Ashley. Shh. Shh. One of the greatest things that I remember of my father, And I bring this today because I honor him on this Father's Day. One of the greatest things I remember about my father is that he truly lived what he preached. He didn't tell you one thing from this pulpit. Now, it didn't mean he was a perfect man. He was far from perfect. He would give you his own list of faults. He would. But I watched him live what he preached. Fathers, one of the greatest things you can do is be honest when you don't meet the mark. Be honest with your kids and say, I fell short and I'm sorry that I broke out in anger. I'm sorry for that moment. But God is still working some things out. And I'm gonna do my best with the Holy Spirit to become like Christ. But the other thing is to just be consistent in what you do. Because that consistency showed me that this wasn't a lie. That consistency showed me that I wasn't meant to be a hypocrite in church. That I wasn't meant to live Monday through Saturday one way and Sunday came in like a perfect Christian. I was just meant to be a real person trying to work out my relationship with God with fear and trembling. But fear and trembling was a key. And consistency wins the race. See, I'm telling you that in your lives and in your home, your actions mean something. Your words mean something. The way you say what you say means something to your children. And that there's some of your homes that are not having altars that are proper. There's some of your homes that what you watch, what you listen to, what you allow in your home is improper. And as a father of your home, you need to tear it out and say, no, we're not living like this. Some of you need to put some parameters on some computers in your kids' lives. And you've been fearful to do it, but God's saying you need to put it on because I've told you to watch over your children. I know you don't understand how to do it. Go get help. Go get help. I had to go get help to do it. Randy and I had no clue what to do. Randy's like, Nick, we got to fix this. I'm like, babe, I don't know how to fix it. He said, let's get help. Let's fix it. Some of you have some things of rebellion in your home that are operating that need to be torn down. And a proper understanding of what humility and looks like in our life and how we live it. But let me tell you, it's not going to be because you sit down and you have a 45-minute Bible study about it. It's going to come from you walking it out. Because your children are watching and listening to everything that you do. The people that you work with are watching you and listening to everything that you do. What you and I as models need to do is model the behavior that they need to become. And realize this, that God's not asking you to be it before he speaks it to you. He looked at Gideon and said, you mighty hero. You mighty hero. Before Gideon even came out of the wine press. He was still in hiding when God called him out. Your pastor's calling you out. Come out of that place that you feel inadequate. Come up out of what you don't think that you have the ability to become, that you know your family needs because God has shown it to you. To you. Come up out of there and start to believe what God says about you. I want to go to Hebrews. This is so powerful. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. It's known as a faith chapter. This is the one that says, now faith is. You all know what this is, this scripture, this whole thing is. But I want to start on the 13th verse. And I just, no, no, 23rd verse. Okay, now, I'm going to read the first line of a lot of these verses. Okay, so you might not want to read it with me, but it's on the screen if you need it. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorpost so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn son. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea that they were on dry ground. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab, the prostitute, was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God. How much more do I need to say It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and of all the prophets. But by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by an edge of a sword. Their weakness was turned into strength, and they become strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Do you realize that it's by faith that you will do what you do? Do you realize that it said by faith it was Moses? Let me tell you something. I'm looking right at men of God, that it's by faith you will become what God's called you to be. It is by faith, David, that your household will not walk in sickness and infirmity. It is by faith, David, that your family will walk in prosperity, that your generation will never be seen begging for bread. It is by faith that each and every one of us will possess what God has called us to do. But it is open for each and every one of us that if we don't choose by faith to receive all that God has said that we will have and we will do and we can be. He spoke things into existence in Gideon's life before Gideon could even see it about himself. I'm telling you that God's speaking to your fathers and he's saying you're an overcomer. He's saying you're a good provider. He's saying that you have everything that your children need. When you think you don't know how to raise them in the right way, God's going to give you the words to say. He's saying that you have what it takes to be the example, to walk it out in front of them, to show them a life of holiness and righteousness and perseverance. That's what he's saying about you fathers today. Do you believe that you're more than enough? Do you believe that you have what it takes? You didn't even know my message. And we were talking last week. And I said, Dan, you're a good man. Can I tell my story?
Sure.
He asked his wife, who was laying in bed sick, real sick, almost on death's door, quite frankly. Couldn't find the virus that was going on in her body. She had been out to a nephew in another state, Arizona, where she had ingested something, a virus that only happens in Arizona, where you got to get a special medicine that only heals that. But how many of you know that doctors in Ohio don't think about things in Arizona because they're doctors in Ohio, right? Miss Diane, who's a nurse, used to be a nurse, said, no, I don't need your prayer. It's all right. We're going good. Well, Dan, who's not a nurse, who was the nurse of his wife, said, no, I'm waiting for her to go to sleep and then I'm going to pray. Did you hear me? I'm going to wait till she goes to sleep and I'm going to pray. Why? Because Diane thought that things were taken care of in the medical world, but Dan knew something else was happening in the spirit. Dan knew that if he would listen to the Lord and go in his own strength, that he would fail. But if he would listen to God and go with God in the strength that he had, that God would be with Dan. And what Dan said is when she's asleep, she knows not what she has need of. I'm going to lay my hands on that woman and God's going to move. And God began to move. She got medicine from a doctor. The doctor finally listened, gave it to her. And oh, imagine that. All of a sudden, the one who could not breathe, lungs filling with fluid, began to breathe. Because a man, a father of his home, stood up and said, I'm fighting an enemy. I'm not fighting a virus. I'm not fighting a sickness. I'm fighting the author of sickness. And you're not allowed in my home any longer. Amen. Some of us have to understand that we're not fathering because we gave seed to a woman. We're fathering because God gave us seed to give to a woman, and he chose that seed and he said, you will be that father. Do you understand that your children are given to you because God knew you could father them? But it is only by faith, when you see yourself the way Christ sees you, that you will be able to walk in that fullness and that completeness. Amen. We finish with 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. The one who calls you is faithful to do it. He will do it. You were created by his workmanship. And I think God has big tools. I just want you to know. I really do. I look forward to when I get there and I can have some supernatural strength. By the way, I want you to all know, my husband built his countertop in his garage 16 inches higher than a normal countertop so that I can't reach them. So now I get a stool when he's there, and I leave all my stuff out on purpose just to make him mad. But he didn't want me working in his big tools. I look forward to the day when I'm in heaven and I have supernatural strength and I can lift up big tools. And I'm like, God, what do you want me to fix? All of you men in here understand tools. And I've been challenged not to use the tools that we have at home, but to talk about Milwaukee tools better. I guess the Milwaukee tool is a big thing. Our DeWalt's must not measure up. Anyways, you men have no problem trusting in the tool that you buy to do the job you bought it for. In fact, you buy it for its power, for its torque. I don't know what that means. To me, that's like when it stops and it goes, I guess. I don't know. The PSI, that one I know. Pressure, because I about blew my toe off with power washer. 2,500 PSI versus 4,500, big difference. Big difference. One will sever toes, just so you know. Amputation, come on over. You have no problem believing in that tool to do what you bought it to do, because you trust in its strength and its power. But I challenge you today, do you trust in God's power? Because it's far greater than any DeWalt. It's far greater than any Milwaukee. It's far greater than the newest thing on the market to do the hard work. God's in it with you. He said, I'm your workmanship. I made you. I put you together, but wait, for my purpose. When you're outside of his purpose, you get to use your tools. When you're in his purpose, he gets to use his tools. And we have to trust it. Amen? Stand to your feet this morning. I want to pray for fathers today. And I know it's Father's Day, but we won't make this long. We're going to do a group prayer. I'm not going to lay hands on every single one of you. But I really felt that there were fathers here this morning that are caring too much. And I don't care what age of life you're in. I don't care if you're at retirement, and it's not even about your children anymore as much as it is maybe that the way you lived your life or the way you provided and the jobs that were available maybe doesn't look like it's enough now that you're in retirement. Maybe the provision isn't there. Maybe you have some children. I just heard an amazing story the other day about a wayward child addicted to drugs and living a life you just couldn't imagine it. My kids went to school with this young girl, and I saw her parent yesterday, and she's like, Pastor Nicole, you're not gonna believe it. She got baptized on Sunday. I'm like, yes. Why? Because a father and a mom didn't give up standing in faith and gap for their kids. You may be carrying something so strong today, so heavy, so weighty. God just wants to pray. I just want to pray over you and release the heavy burden that's off of you. Maybe it's what you have at work. Maybe ends are hard to meet with 10-hour days, so they're calling 12 and 14, or overtime's been shut down. Whatever it is, fathers, the altar's open. I'm just asking all of you to come down and coagulate at the beginning, and we're just going to say one last prayer, and you'll all be able to go home, I promise. Don't all run to the altar. There we go. Here we go. The load can get heavy. And I want to remind you, in Job, the Bible says that even though Job could not see God, God saw Job. God saw Job in the heart of what he was struggling with. He saw Job in his culture. He saw Job in his culture. He sees you in your culture. Where the culture says all these awful things about men. You know what? We don't think any of those things about fathers and men. And we think you're amazing. And God says you can. It doesn't mean that we don't look at ourselves and say, I'm too weak to do this on my own. That's the beautiful part. Because he said, it's then when you're weak, I am made strong. Lift up your hands to heaven if you would. Every man here. And if you're in the audience, I want you stretching forth your hands to them. Guys, this is a generation shift. Do you understand that as men begin to live in the benefits of God and the identity of Him, that our children can't help but love Christ? Our children can't help but love people and do it better and love to serve God because their fathers love to serve God. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we begin to speak to every man. Father, I just lift up a corporate prayer. I just sense, Lord, I saw myself working through your crowd. Father, I thank you that supernatural strength is coming to these fathers. God, a deafening of the world's way and what the world tells them they are. For that's not enough. God says, I want to do more. I want to do more. I want to be more in them and through them. And as you accept His new identity, as you accept what God's called you to be, raise up. Raise up. God says there's a choice to be made. I don't know what this is. There's a choice to be made, young man. Young. I don't know how old you are, but you're younger than me. God says there's a choice to be made, and whatever choice you make, your family will go that way. Deuteronomy, there's a scripture that says, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day. And later on in the Bible, Joshua looks at me and says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God says, make your choice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I thank you that you're moving in the hearts of these men today. God, that this is the next generation that rises up to lead a strong, mighty generation after you. Father, I thank you that the weight of the world, God, that they feel, the weight, this job, things in their jobs are going to get easier. Favor's coming in the name of Jesus, says the Lord. Favor, influence at a greater level. Much is given, much is required. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the working. Oh, I see some of you are receiving physical healing in your bodies right now. God says, I can't have an army of men that are sick and broken. So those physical ailments, we speak to them in their bodies right now. I see some arteries being cleansed, some arteries that have been clogged. God says, I'm gonna deal with that and I'm gonna start teaching you about your diet. Oh, geez. Well, that comes accountability, but that's all right. Heal us, Lord, and teach us. We'll take it in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I thank you. The weight of this family. Father, I thank you that reconciliation is coming. Reconciliation is coming to some of these fathers. Some of them have children they haven't spoke to. God says, I'm going to begin to redeem time. I'm going to give you words to speak that will draw their hearts home. God says you're going to need to tear down the altar of those mean lips. God says there's no room for that meanness. That meanness pushes them away. But God says a gentle word will reject that anger and silence it in their life. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, that you're giving men, Father, the ability to say the things they need to say, Father, with love and kindness, direction, clarity. Clarity in their lips. I thank you for strong men, backbones, able to say the hard things. Able to say the hard things in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for courage. Courage. I rebuke the spirit of fear off these men right now in the name of Jesus. Father, for they are strong and courageous in you. Father, they are mighty men. Father, for you speak words of encouragement over them. Father, that they would begin to see themselves like you see them and begin to walk in it. For faith speaks before it sees. Faith says what you are before you become. God says, begin to declare what you will be. What do you want to be? What did you see that God says you're not? For I see you victorious. I see you strong. I see you mighty. I see you with self-control, says the Lord. I see you sinless. I see you not struggling with value or identity any longer, but I see you walking in the goodness of God. I see you strong in your faith. I see you leading your generation in faith, for you're not afraid to be the one that stands in the gap when everyone else is going one way, that you turn around and say, no, run this way. This way is God's plan. This way is the way to righteousness. This way is the way to holiness. For this generation will not be lost because of idle fathers. For these fathers will be intentional in their way. Father, for that you're redeeming time, says the Lord. Redeeming time. Those of you that have felt like you're behind, God says you're not behind. You're right on time. Right on time. Don't give up. You're right on time. Right on time, says the Lord. Now, Father, we give you this day. We give you this moment. Father, as these men cast their cares upon you. Cast their cares. Throw them off and accept your grace, accept your mercy, God, to lead and guide them as they lead and guide their families. Father, we thank you for this Father's Day. Now, men, I'm going to ask that you stay here as we bring forth the ones that want to give their lives to Christ. If there be anyone in the midst of us today that would say, Pastor Nicole, I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior, but I can't live this life of sin that I'm living any longer. I want to come in to the kingdom of God. I want him to wash my sins away, and I want to begin living this life that I could please him. I want to be the father for my family, or I want to be a young man that turns into a father. I want to see God in a different way. Anyone under the sound of my voice today in this house that would say, I want to know Jesus, could you just simply raise your hand? There's a prayer team that's in the back there waiting for you to raise your hand. Raise it up high, though. Last week, one got by us. He kind of raised it this way. Anyone out there saying, I want to know Jesus today? This is my minute. This is my moment. Well, it looks like the fathers of the house have done a good job because everyone in their household saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Men, God loves you and he sees you. And there's nothing too small that he's not concerned about. If it concerns you, it concerns him. No matter what. Take it to the feet of Jesus and go in your own strength and he will be with you. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. You can go back to your seats. Happy Father's Day. You know, time and time through the Bible, we see the stories and the parables of multiplication. Two fishes and five loaves fed 5,000. Because we simply gave what we had to Jesus. He gave thanks over it, blessed it, broke it, gave it back, and then they dispersed it. If you have a question, if you have enough to do what your family needs or what the people around you are asking for, give what you have to God. Ask him to bless it and give it back to you and then pour it out. And there'll always be more. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the fathers present in our house today. Fathers, they have celebrations as they go home and their lives are celebrated. Father, let them be brought honor, goodness, love. Let the children that haven't reached out, reach out to them. Father, allow them to have great days, get them home safe. And Lord, most of all, bring someone into our lives this week that we'll have time just to win one more soul for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Until we meet again on Wednesday, we'll see you later, church. We love you. Happy Father's Day.